Mike Walter, WUSA. I love the title, The Story of My Story, but listening to you tell your story and how your story's diminished when it's three people killed in your neighborhood, and yet the pain is no different for you than somebody who's has a loved one in the 200 that died. How tough was it to you to be in that newsroom psychologically and to see, well, this the numbers aren't big enough?
Well, it's very tough. It's not easy. But it's my job. And as I said, at the end of the day, you know, the story should be written. So it's better to contribute the story, you know, to tell the truth to the American people. So it's a very important, you know, the kind of the Iraqi contributions in the story. It's not easy task. It's not easy. I remember we wrote a story about my colleague, who was also work with us in the newsroom. His name Khalid. He was 23 years old, and he was killed. That morning, he called us in the newsroom, and he said, "There is troops that surrounded my neighborhood, and I will be late. But I'll try to find my way, and but I'll be late." And then I was angry with him because he always being late. And yeah, but I'm sorry. You know, it's not. And then when I was late, you know, his mom called and she said, "He was shot. He was killed. He's dead." So the insurgent they drop his car and they kill him. And we are in the newsroom, you know, and then we have to work out the story. So how, you know, and then we you know, we wrote many stories. I think all the New York Times stuff, you know, they wrote about Khalid. So I just give you another example. Yeah, it's not easy, but the story should be written.
Can I just exert my moderator's privilege for a moment? And Hannah, would you mind picking up on that and saying as much as you feel you can? Because this is an experience that you have gone through twice, that you and I share. Yeah. The beloved colleague who's going to be late, who suddenly becomes the story. Would you mind talking about Vaughn and Yasser?
Yes. In March 2004, my very first Iraqi translator, fixer, Ban Adel, she's just, you know, an amazing person. She just showed me Iraq from the north to the south, introduced me to the art, the culture, the music. You know, she showed me the country she loved, and that was reflected in our stories. It made them much more complete. After covering a string of car bombings, I decided we needed to take a break, and her husband, who is working for Voice of America Radio, said, "You know, you ladies go off," and we went to visit my family in Egypt. It was her first time outside of Iraq, and we were there 3 days when we got the news that her husband, her young daughter, and her mother-in-law were all gunned down. So we had to run back. We got a humanitarian flight, actually, and unfortunately, it wasn't over. The mother-in-law had been mistakenly killed. They were actually, it was very late at night. She was veiled. They didn't know. They thought it was Bon. So when the funeral banners went up and it was obvious they'd gotten the wrong person, then the note came that said, "You and your surviving son are next." That was an awful incident. It happened maybe 3 months into my time as bureau chief. And again, she had been with me before I was bureau chief, when I was just there before we really had a bureau. And so, you know, it's, I lose my surrogate family, and who Shaban was Iraq to me. She lost everything, her country, her family, everything, in one fell swoop because we had to get her out of the country. I couldn't write about that story for over 2 years, and people asked. And finally, I couldn't even write about it for my own news organization. Glamour magazine approached me, and I thought the idea of writing about this for young women would be more, I don't know, valuable or something. I talked with Vaughn about this, and I said, I'll only write one word if you say yes. So that was fine. The second incident, the one we share, was the wonderful Yasser Salehi. He was a medical doctor. Jackie hired him because of his good English and his contacts at Yarmouk Hospital. He was just a sunny, bright personality. When he was again looking for a job, he was sent my way. We weren't actually even looking for someone, but he strolled in. He had this just—he just won you over. So I hired him on the spot. And you know, this is just gets to the randomness and senselessness of the violence in Iraq. And this is because he and I had covered insurgent-controlled Fallujah. We'd been shot at in Najaf. We'd had all these terrible experiences. And then on his day off, his one day off, he's going to get gas to take his little daughter to the pool. Here's a U.S. checkpoint that's never been in his neighborhood before. So he was moving along at the right, you know, at the same pace he always did, and a sniper fired one bullet, U.S. sniper fired one bullet through his skull, and that was it. And that we did have to write about immediately. I was actually in Jordan. Tom Lasseter, one of my wonderful colleagues, now our Moscow bureau chief, he was there. He had to pull the staff together, and, you know, it was amazing. I mean, I think that we just were on autopilot. We just cared about him so much. And that day, I mean, we made the decision we did need to write about that. We needed to write about it right then. And so, you know, and I found it to be both good and bad. But I would argue that for our Iraqi staff members, it was a wonderful way to remember him and a tribute to someone we all loved. And then you followed up with a documentary.